Welcome to the Doggy Dojo. I'm your host, Susan Light, a Los Angeles-based dog trainer and behavior consultant on a quest to become worthy of the title Sensei of the Doggy Dojo. Today we're talking about puppies. Getting a puppy is one of life's true joys, but it can also be overwhelming. I can't tell you how many calls I get from people who didn't realize how many questions they would have about their new puppy. Let me say that the best time to meet with a trainer is before you bring that puppy home. A certified trainer can not only help you set up your home for the puppy and help you know what to focus on in those first few overwhelming days and weeks, but if you're open to it, they can actually help you consider your lifestyle and choose the right dog to fit your life. To talk about all things puppy, I've got a true expert. My guest specializes in board and trains for puppies as young as 8 weeks and hosts a weekly puppy social for puppies under 6 months old. The founder of UpDog LA, please welcome Darcy Carney. Darcy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm super excited because nobody has trained more puppies than you. I really don't think I could get a better expert on this subject.
Oh, well, thanks for having me.
So let's get down to it. I want some people who are like, oh my God, I have a puppy or I'm getting a puppy and they have no idea what to expect. Obviously 30 minutes is not enough time to tell them everything they need to know about having a puppy and all of your years of experience, knowledge, but let's condense it down and start giving them what they need. Here's something for people to know. What is the youngest age puppies should be leaving their moms?
No sooner than 8 weeks, preferably even 10 weeks.
Yeah. Best. And why is that?
Puppies learn a lot from their siblings, including bite inhibition, which, everybody complains about. So the longer you can leave your puppies with their siblings, the more they can learn some bite inhibition from each other, because they will tell each other, knock it off. That's too much.
Yeah. And it's just something good to know that if you end up with a puppy at 6 weeks, you're going to be having some issues because that is not an ideal time to for them not to be spending with their parents.
Yes.
With their mom.
Absolutely.
I say the parents. So what are the shots that puppies need? What ages are they getting them? It's a lot of shots right at the beginning of their life.
It is. And of course, there's, a lot of stuff with vaccines and should I get my puppy vaccines? And I have dogs come straight from breeders. I also have rescues too. But some of them don't want certain shots and they don't want as many shots lumped together in one. So some of the basic core vaccines, especially initially, typically is rabies, distemper, parvo, and endovirus. That's usually in the first shot that they get. I'm sorry, not the rabies. What am I talking about? Just distemper.
I was going to say rabies is 4 months.
That's way out there. That's one of the last ones.
And I think rabies is the only one required by law, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and that depends on what state you're in.
Okay, that makes sense.
To some degree.
Yeah.
The core vaccines in general. Definitely rabies is in that one, distemper, parvo, and the endovirus. Some of the non-core that are pushed by city, state legislation, rules and guidelines, believe it or not, Bordetella, influenza, lepto, Lyme, coronavirus, rattlesnake, all those are actually considered non-core. With the Bordetella and influenza, there are other strains out there. Just like when we get a flu shot, there's still other strains out there. And if you catch Bordetella, which is kennel cough, if you get that, then, it's 10 days of antibiotics. Really, it's nothing that's going to kill your dog. Of course, unless it goes unnoticed and it turns into pneumonia or something like that. So, yeah. With all these vaccines, like some people aren't getting Bordetella shots anymore. Some people aren't, there's places that are wanting you to get some of these vaccines and it really depends on your dog's lifestyle. Are they going to daycare? Are they going to socials and playing with other dogs that are going to daycare or dog parks or really heavy dog social environments? So you got to ask yourself those questions too. Are they out in the woods where there's Lyme's diseases, you know, a big thing? And rabies, although rare, that will definitely kill your dog. So it's become this really sensitive topic, and just get a titer test that will let you know what antibodies your dog has for any of these things, for the vaccines. And especially when you get a puppy from a breeder and the vet just wants to start all over. And the client is so confused and they're just like, we're starting over, you know, and then your puppy is delayed with all of that.
Yeah. So, well, they should, from a breeder, the breeder should have the shot records, right? I would assume
they do, but they're coming from
a rescue. I would think a rescue, you'd be more likely to be like, let's just give them a bunch of shots because we don't know what they've had.
And that is very true, because they will shoot them all up with everything possible to keep them safe, because they are also, you know, in a heavy dog facility a lot of times, unless they're at fosters. They can be with a lot of dogs then too. But yeah, even these breeders, different states have different requirements. And I've seen things come up and the vet is like, I don't even know what this is. So they just want to start over. And I see it happen all the time. So ask for a titer test, because that will let you know what antibodies your dog has so that you're not over vaccinating.
Yeah. And I think it's a good point to consider your dog's lifestyle, because plenty of dogs will never need like a rattlesnake or a Lyme disease shot. Yep. But I know some dogs that have had bad reaction. I mean, it's just like people. Sometimes you have a bad reaction to it. But yeah, if you are going to go hiking with your dogs a lot, maybe you want to consider them. Talk to your vet.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's good. And same with the Bordetella. That's the daycare is a huge thing. If you're sending your dog to daycare, they're going to give them more shots than if you're not, because they're going to be around a lot of dogs.
Yep. And then they're like, oh no, my dog still got kennel cough. And it's really, kennel cough isn't a big deal. It's just like your child catching a cold.
Yeah. Okay. So that's shots. At 8 weeks, if you get a puppy that young, they're still in their socialization period, right?
Yes.
So how long does that socialization period last?
You have up to 15 weeks. And this is where the vaccinations and your vet and socialization come hand in hand. And the vet's going to say, don't let your puppy go anywhere until they're, you know, 4 months old and they have all their vaccinations. And you're going to talk to a behavioralist and they're going to be like, get your puppy out there safely ASAP. And there are safe ways to socialize your under vaccinated puppy, many ways. Even through the pandemic, there were ways. People just kept their dogs in the house, but you can take them out in carry packs. You can take them out in doggy strollers. You can take them, you can carry them into a store just to get them exposure.
You can keep them in the car and just roll down the window.
Yep. I tell people, go to a construction site and sit on the sidelines and roll your window down and have treats with you. And as long as your dog isn't feeling frightened or scared, give them some treats to bring positive association to all these big sounds. And it's just everyday sounds. And that's a huge thing. Just the sights, sounds, and smells. I carry my puppies around in packs running my errands. So they get lots of exposure to all kinds of things. Also, never try to force your dog into a fearful situation. People try to use treats with the best of intentions, use treats to lure them into a scary situation or something they really don't want to do. So we got to be really careful about that.
So socialization is going to be a big priority, because once that window closes, you don't get it back. You can't actually socialize a dog once that socialization has, that window has closed. You're doing then counter conditioning, right? So that's why it's so frustrating, like you said, when the vets are saying, don't take them out until they get their shots. And I tell people, you know, they're saying, okay, they don't want this puppy to get sick. I understand that. But we need to take the time to explain to people what is safe and what isn't, instead of just blanketly being like, it's safe to leave them at home. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, exactly. I have a whole episode about socializing puppies, and you guys can check that out. But socialization, huge, huge deal. Can't talk about puppies without talking about it. But if we say, okay, go back to that episode, check out more about socialization. Let's talk about everything else. Let's say you're about to bring a puppy home, or you just brought him home. What should our priorities be? Socialization one, what else?
First, I mean, be prepared to, just like if you have a toddler that's starting to crawl, make sure that plants and other things are not within reach of the puppy, wires, all that kind of stuff. Make sure it's puppy proof. And even better, have a pen and crate. And I usually have a pen attached to the crate. And of course, it all depends on if your puppy is already acclimated to the crate or not. That's a whole nother thing going into crating. But you definitely want to confine them. It's very overwhelming for puppies to just come into the home and it's a free for all. It's actually very stressful for a puppy.
I agree. I think almost always when I go for a puppy visit, the puppy has too much freedom.
Absolutely.
And it's causing a lot of problems.
Yep. And if they get, like, at night, they're going to find that their puppy starts just like biting out of control and crazy and going wild. And they think it's because their puppy has too much energy. They're exhausted. And I just do a little, oh, you're a little too excited right now and exhausted. And I just put them in their pen with a bully stick or a little topple with some pumpkin puree or something in it. And they usually, they might cry for a few seconds and then they're totally passed out. So people are really surprised that their puppy's not, you know, doesn't have more energy. But you definitely want to have a schedule prepared. Get that puppy on a sleep schedule. Puppies sleep a lot. I don't like puppies just sleeping in a bed next to me at my desk. Every time I move, I'm up and about constantly. The puppy wakes up. So I like to get a crate, have your puppy, and I usually have it in another room. And I get, within a week, I will have my puppies on a schedule, no problem. For the most part. And they, you know, I like to have them sleep for a good 9 hours a day. That's not always easy, but I mean, they need a lot of sleep. People are amazed.
They do. They need to be sleeping more than they're awake at this age.
Yep. Uninterrupted sleep to fully decompress. Their brains need it for development and growth. It's when they start, all the neurons start and synapses start coming together, processing everything they learned and experienced that day. They need it. Do not exhaust your puppies and think that, oh, I'm just going to let them play till they're exhausted. Your dog will be like that for the rest of their life. Helping them, give them not timeouts. I don't really do timeouts. It's more little decompression moments. And that helps your dog learn to regulate themselves and understand, oh, I'm feeling tired. Oh, I should go lay down.
Yeah, just little breaks, teaching them how to take a break instead of play, play, play until you fall over.
And yeah, exhausted. And they start to get cranky when, you know, they play intense and get growly and more intense. So I even have people leave my puppy social early if their dog's getting too tired and overwhelmed. And I'm just like, you know what? Yeah. Your puppy's had enough and they had a great experience. We need to end it here.
Yeah, definitely. Short experiences that are positive, better than pushing something until it goes wrong.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah, I love that. And then what about, I think schedule is also great for like potty training. Potty training is probably right up there on the first things you want to do.
Take them out every 10 to 20 minutes. Seriously. I mean, it is nonstop with the potty training. You cannot take them out enough. If you want them to go in one single spot, take them out with a leash. They have such tiny little collars. I just have a big clip leash and I just put it right over their collar because it's quick and easy. Take them right out of the crate. Take them right outside. You take them to one spot. And this also goes for people. If you want to train your puppy to go potty right away before a walk eventually, they go potty and then the walk is the reward eventually when they're old enough. But you start that in your backyard or wherever your potty area is, have them on a leash. Then they get comfortable with going potty on a leash. I have dogs that arrive that have never pottied on a leash and it's a lot to undo. They're so distracted by the leash, they can't even go potty. So
Well, and it makes sense because if you're not walking them, which you're not if they're under vaccinated, but doesn't mean you can't introduce these things at home where it's safe. These are things they're going to need their entire life. The earlier, the better.
Exactly. And the potty training is a huge one. And I don't like to do potty pads and stuff. I might have them there just to protect a floor, but I try to take those puppies out nonstop.
And yeah, I agree. No yep, potty pads if you can.
It's targeting. It's target training, basically. It teaches them to go on a square object like the rug in front of your front door. And the rug or something, the mat under by your kitchen sink. That's what it teaches them to go on. It's target training.
But it also doesn't teach them to go outside.
Exactly.
It teaches them that it's okay to go inside.
Yep. It sure does.
So, unless you're going to be one of those city people, which they exist, who has a very small dog and you're going to use potty pads, just you're going to use them. That's going to be the dog's thing.
Yeah.
I would avoid them.
Yeah, exactly. Because I know dogs that are on set and it's the exact same. They're in the trailer, so they have potty pads in their movie trailer and such. And also at night with the potty training, if your puppy's crying at night, I mean, I will have a puppy, maybe a couple of nights they might try to cry. And go ahead, let them out, especially that first night or two that you're with them. Take them out. Do not say a word to them. This is very important. Don't say a word. Total silence. Get the dog, put them on the leash, take them to their potty area. Don't say a word. Once again, total silence. And then when they're done, you just pick them up and you put them back in their crate. Do not play with them. So many people are like, oh, they wanted to play, so I'm going to play with them. Well, now they're going to wake up every morning in the middle of the night thinking they can play whenever they want to.
100%. I always say that. The only thing they can get out of the crate for when they're barking is to go potty. Because I do want them to know that if they really have to go, I don't want them to go in the crate.
Yeah. But
there's nothing else that's going to happen. If you're barking, you can go potty and then you're going right back.
Yep. And typically within a few nights, I have them sleeping through the whole night. It's very rare that I don't. They might wake
once
up.
Once they get on a routine. Yeah. Yep.
And I cut them off water a couple hours before bedtime. And of course I take them for a last potty just before I take them to bed.
Yeah. Awesome. So it's not difficult, but it's tedious.
Exactly.
But you got to do it. You got to do it. Do it now.
Tedious is the word because
it's tiring. It's always running out.
Yes. Exhausting.
If you want more of Darcy, check out her website, updog.la, or find her on Instagram at updogla. We'll be right back.
Never try to pet your puppy unless you put something in their mouth first, a toy, a chew, and you're going to have to keep moving it around. So you're going to have that one hand holding on to something to keep their moving mouth busy while you try to pet them. A lot of puppies don't want to be picked up. Wait until the evening when they're tired and do puppy massage and, you know, gently say their name very sweetly to them. And that's how you can do some name recognition. I also have them chase me in the yard. When they get to me, I say their name and, oh, yay! I give them little loveys and then I run the opposite direction. Having them chase you is great. Never chase your puppy. but little puppy massage at night. Get your loveys in the evening when they're tired and they're not going to fight you and bite you. And we want consent. We don't want to just force ourselves upon them because that's going to make touch and humans unlikable.
Yeah, such a good point. Such a good point. We're the worst at just overhandling. And we do, during the socialization period, we do want to handle them, obviously.
Yes.
That's what you're talking about with puppy massage. But yeah, like with everything in socialization, we want it to be a positive experience. It's not just exposure, it's positive exposure.
Yes, exactly. We want their consent. We don't want them fighting us and pulling away from us because that will lead to other things down the line with them not wanting them to be near us.
Absolutely.
Like, you'll see dogs pull away from people constantly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So I think we talked about like the household dangers that we want to puppy proof. You said plants, cords, things like that.
And cleaning supplies.
Cleaning supplies, vitamins, medicines.
Yes.
I mean, just anything that can be eaten. It's probably going to be
your tennis shoes. Keep your tennis shoes up. Anything that you wear.
Grandma's quilt.
Yes. Socks and underwear. Why do they take your socks and underwear? Because they has the strongest scent, your strongest scent on them, because we wear them the closest to our bodies. And that's why they take them. Keep them up and away.
Absolutely. We don't want them practicing that. So let's talk about crate training. You mentioned it a little bit.
Yes.
About, you know, it being possible to have the crate, the pen. I think a tether is another good thing if you have like a little harness so they're not like strapped to their neck. You don't want to tether, you know, anything Absolutely. To a little delicate neck. But if they have a little harness, you could maybe just tether them to your chair kind of thing. But let's talk specifically about the crate. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say a tether they can't chew through or get bitter apple to spray your.
Good point. Yeah. Good point. Okay. They will chew and they right will through. Chew on everything.
Yep. I have
and
a
their
lot.
Teeth are growing. They need to chew. They need
they have
to.
They feel the world through their mouth. They don't have hands. And that's what people don't understand. They're like, oh my God, I've even had so many people say my puppy is violent. They're just vicious. They're aggressive. All the words. And it's like they're a puppy. They're teething. They feel the world through their mouth and their mouth is on fire.
Oh, I know. Poor things. Okay. But let's talk about the crate because I think the crate is a great tool if we do it right.
Yes, crates are fantastic. Crates are the best for teaching alone time and self-soothing, which prevents separation anxiety. If more dogs were crated during the pandemic, possibly, and had alone time in the other room at least, you know, because a lot of these dogs ended up with separation anxiety even after the pandemic, because people were just home all the time. And my puppies are in crates in the other room. During the day, because I'm usually working at my desk or outside working with the other dogs here. And it's the best way to help them learn how to be alone. If they have just gone potty and they're crying and whining in the crate, I'll sit in there with them a little bit. And sometimes that helps. I also have a puppy shusher and it just does a steady shh. So I can sometimes do that with the machine and slowly lower my volume as I slip out the door. Nice. So the puppy still thinks because their crate will be covered, at least 2/3 of it covered. So it's very den and cozy, den-like. And then I'll slip out. I also have sound machines that I play with birds chirping, water running and stuff like that, talk radio. And I change it up for them just so they have something going on in there for them. And so that just helps soothe them. I will do a mild, just a gentle little tap on the crate sometimes if they're just kind of really whining. And sometimes, actually a lot of times, just a little tap on the crate and a little shh, tap, 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 tap. Not enough to startle them and scare them. Just a little tap, tap can really quiet them down. It's amazing.
Yeah, so they know they're not alone. They're just hanging out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So definitely have something playing for them. And then also with the crate training, again, that goes hand in hand with potty training. If your puppy has to go potty, you take them out. If they don't go potty, bring them right back in and give them another 15, 20 minutes in the crate, not the pen, the crate. And then take them back out again and try again. And this is how we give the dog the picture in their mind of this is where you go. And if you don't go, then we go right back in your little den. And then we'll try it again. Oh, you got it right. Potty party. And so as soon as your puppy goes potty, when they're almost at the end of going potty, either job, I'll say potty or poopies. Some people like each of them named. Some it's just potty for either or. And so I'll name it and then, oh, they get the best rewards. And so every time they go out there, you know, we have potty parties and that also just emphasizes, yay, good job. This is where we want you to do this. And then they
absolutely.
And then they can have a little free time in the house. 8 weeks is still a little tough. I would still keep them in the pen till maybe 10 weeks. Not too much free time, because they will still have to go out every 15, 20 minutes. So, you can keep them in the pen, play with them. That's a good time to do that. And always remember after food, playing or sleeping, take them out right away. Sometimes I'll even carry them because their bladders aren't strong enough. And even if they're on a leash, sometimes they'll end up pottying on the walk out the door. So you want to do that. So the potty training, it also keeps your puppy safe from chewing on any wires, plants, cleaning supplies, anything in the house. Do not leave your puppy free range. They will open cupboards. They can get very mischievous. So be sure your puppy is definitely in a safe place and the crate is typically very safe.
So yeah, it's probably the safest place if they're alone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And yep. So, and then again, it teaches them that self-soothing, they get to decompress. They actually learn to enjoy their crates. I give them all the best stuff in their crates, and some tracheas and all kinds of yummy stuff in a topple toy and such, all kinds of interactive toys. Yeah. And that alone time and self-soothing, decompression, safety, potty training, it's all done with crating.
And I do want to say that, again, this is for puppies. You might have a different approach if you're like trying to crate train an adult dog. But yeah. This is for puppies. So there's just one more thing if we have time to touch on. And this is a little bit of a controversial topic. But since people are getting puppies, sometimes people are getting pushed or choosing to take two siblings, to take two litter mates. Mm-hmm. And there's something called litter mate syndrome. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And this has come up for me recently because I have two female pug sisters coming for board and train. And litter mate syndrome is basically a non-scientific term. And it doesn't mean they even have to be litter mates. It's usually puppies around the same age that are around each other a lot. They can become competitive and with each other and can get pretty nasty, and some big fights can break out. And there's ways to prevent that. It's not like, oh no. I mean, typically you don't want to get two litter mates, and a good breeder will not typically let you take home two puppies, but there's all kinds of situations where this happens and people want to take on the second puppy. And the best thing you can do for those two puppies, if you end up with two little puppies, litter mates or not, because it's all the same, is make sure they have individual crates, individual pens. They have one-on-one time bonding with you, not always together bonding with you, because they will bond with each other and not want to bond with you in some cases. And so it's just really important to make sure that those puppies get individual attention, individual time with you, and have their own individual spaces. It's very important.
And also individual time to socialize with the world, right? Because yes. I feel like they can get codependent on having their sibling there and not develop yep. all their own associations with the world.
Exactly. They need their own experiences without each other. And that's why take your puppies out individually. Yeah, not just bonding with them individually, but taking them out on field trips individually as well. I call them field trips.
I love field trips.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's just, awesome. It's really important. And you can really prevent a lot of stuff down the line if you do that. And also prevent them from being codependent and screaming if they're ever separated. Say one has to go to the vet and the other one has to stay home. You want to create that balance. It's very important.
Yep. Yeah, and I feel like dogs get codependent even if you get them at different times.
Yeah.
Sometimes mm-hmm. two dogs in a household can get really attached.
Bonded. Yes.
No matter what time. Yeah.
Give all your awesome. Dogs individual attention. It's a good thing. They appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Darcy. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you for stopping by the dojo this week. This is your aspiring sensei, Susan Light, signing off. You can find me at doggydojopodcast.com or I'm Susan Light LA on Instagram, Pinterest, and Facebook. The music was written by Mac Light. You can find him at maclightsongwriter.com. If you like the show, you can support it by subscribing, sharing it with your friends, rating it, and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. Just a reminder, this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not constitute advice or professional services by either the host or any of the guests. I'll be back in 2 weeks with another new episode of the Doggy Dojo.